This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of October 22nd, 2018. I'm Mason King. Indiana voters have the chance to exert an outsized influence over control of the U.S. Senate when the midterm elections roll around next month. The Senate race between Hoosier Democratic incumbent Joe Donnelly and Republican challenger Mike Braun is one of the most closely watched contests in the country. Donnelly is considered vulnerable as a Democrat in a state that President Trump won by 19 points in 2016. Braun is the multimillionaire businessman who's hoping to capitalize on the Trump-era vogue for political outsiders. If you want a sense of how important this race is, just follow the money. At last count, the campaigns, party committees, and outside groups have spent more than $61 million on the race. Well, now that we're within spitting distance of November 6th, we've asked IBJ political reporter Lindsay Airdoty to fill us in on what she has gleaned about the candidates after spending time with them out on the trail. Lindsay produced dueling in-depth profiles of the two candidates, and she also has been looking at what the early voting numbers could mean for the race. Hey, Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Hey, as I mentioned in the intro, you wrote extended profiles of Mike Braun and Joe Donnelly in the last issue. This is based in part in the time that you spent with them on the campaign trail. And before we talk about them individually, I want to share one thing that I gleaned from the profiles that I thought was interesting, and especially in terms of how Braun tried to paint Messer and Rakita as being sort of like carbon copies of each other in the primary. So from what I gleaned, Donnelly and Braun are similar in a lot of ways. Obviously, both white men. They're both in the early 60s, I think 61 or 62. They live in small Indiana cities. They both received advanced professional degrees from prestigious private universities. Donnelly went to Notre Dame, got his law degree. Braun went to Harvard, got his business degree. They both first held public office as members of a school board and then went on to higher office from there. It sounds pretty similar. What would you say, from your observation, is the biggest difference?
Well, you're not totally wrong. I do think they have a lot of similarities, although I will note that Donnelly is 63 and Braun 64. One of the differences, I guess, that I notice is Donnelly has been in a federal office. He's been in Congress since 2006.
Yeah.
And clearly has, for a long time, had this passion for politics versus Braun, despite serving a few years in the state house, really tries to play up this outsider persona and that he's not a politician and he's not going to D.C. to be a politician. He's going to D.C. to be like Trump and to be the outsider. You know, one of the things that struck me about his candidacy as well is that no one asked him to run for Senate either. Whereas when Donnelly made the decision in 2012 to run, I think, you know, he was talking to a lot of different people about his political future and made that decision. So
that was an interesting thing that was brought up, I think, in the profile of him, was that, I mean, he would have been running against Dick Lugar had Lugar beaten Richard Murdoch in the primary. But Donnelly said that he didn't believe that Lugar was going to win. He had the prescience to realize that the Tea Party was that strong.
Yes, yes. His 2012 campaign manager mentioned that to me, that the two of them kind of really saw this happening, and Donnelly was apparently worried about it because he really respected Lugar and wanted to have his legacy carried on. They had joked about, well, what if Lugar wins and what if we're running against Lugar in the general election, and that they would just talk about, well, you know, we'll go out and we'll have fun, but like they were basically going to concede that wasn't going to be a race that they could win. It wasn't going to be a race where they, you know, necessarily be willing to go negative because he admired him so much. And
he would be willing to give up a seat in the House for that. Or would he necessarily have lost a seat in the House?
He would have, yes, yeah. Because he would not have been running for reelection for a seat
that's
in the
hard
House.
To
but he was that confident that Lugar faced such a threat from Murdoch. So, and he was right. I mean, Murdoch won. So.
That's right. And both of these guys I think, are very interested in projecting an image, they're a regular guy. I mean, you know, Braun, you know, has a certain amount of costuming, you know, on the trail. I mean, he always wears this, like, a blue button-down shirt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Donnelly certainly, you know, I think has sort of, you know, the appearance of a kind of a working-class guy. You've been around them. And does that feel authentic to you? Or are they really being their real selves?
I think so, to a certain extent. With Donnelly, his campaign now has this RV that he takes around the entire state. And that same campaign manager was telling me about how Donnelly loves that RV. Just absolutely, hands down, is so excited about it. And that it was one of the biggest mistakes that he made in 2012 was not getting an RV. Mm. But they didn't have the money for it that election. So I think that's genuine. And that RV, I've been on it. It's nothing fancy. One of the rearview mirrors is literally taped on right now, or it was a few weeks ago. And with Braun, you're right. He wears that blue shirt pretty much everywhere. I don't know if I've seen him in anything else.
Looks good.
Yeah. But, you know, I talked to somebody from Jasper, where Braun is from, about him, and he had told me that he didn't even know how wealthy Braun was until Braun was running for Senate and all these stories started coming out about Braun's wealth, because he said that, you know, he would just show up for the school board meetings driving an old pickup truck and just acting like a normal Jasper guy, you know, not this millionaire.
So neither one of these guys are running around dropping their G's.
I don't think so, yeah.
Okay. You know, when I think about the campaigns, it's hard for me to say as an observer, and even to somebody in the media, what either one of these guys is running on, like as the focus of the sales pitch, as opposed to kind of the negative thing that they're saying about the other guy.
The two big things that both of them really focus on is healthcare and jobs. Donnelly regularly talks about how he voted for the Affordable Care Act. He, you know, talks about how he's still fighting to keep it there since, you know, we've seen so many repeal attempts. Braun regularly talks about how he created this healthcare plan for his employees at Meijer Distributing and how he figured it out before Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act even existed. And then they both also, with Braun's company, you know, he talks about how he's a job creator and, you know, knows how to run things like a business and can help the government, help the economy, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, Donnelly also talks a lot about how he's out there fighting to get better wages for Hoosier workers. And, you know, he was really passionate with the carrier layoffs when that happened. Mm. So both of them are really focused on those two things.
I know that, or at least I feel as though I've read, that the Democrats believe that Republicans, even on a national basis, are vulnerable in healthcare and that they are really trying to hit it hard in every race.
I think both parties think the other one is vulnerable in healthcare.
Well, that's probably right.
So, you know, because I think a lot of Republicans are out there hearing from people that they don't like Obamacare and they want Obamacare to go away. But I think where there's some common ground is when it comes to pre-existing conditions. That seems to be like the more specific talking point that we've heard on healthcare this year, as Democrats are out there saying that they're the ones that are really going to protect that and keep that in a healthcare plan. And Republicans trying to say, well, we're going to repeal Obamacare, but we support having something in place that supports pre-existing conditions.
Well, in terms of messaging that I do recognize, negative messaging, every time I watch a video online, the pre-roll ad that I get is 5 seconds of somebody telling me that Braun wants to get rid of the pre-existing conditions provision. And there's some debate between the campaigns about that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so Donnelly's campaign is out there talking about how Braun does not support pre-existing conditions and Braun supports a lawsuit that would strip pre-existing conditions from the law. And Braun is out there saying that he, at his company, has always offered coverage for pre-existing conditions. And that's, you know, one of the key components to his healthcare plan. So he obviously does support having that on a national level and he can help the government figure out a way to do that in a way that makes sense outside of Obamacare.
Well, we have some audio of the two of them talking about healthcare, and we'll start off with Donnelly.
The healthcare that we have can get much better. We've had so many opportunities to work together to lower premiums, to provide even better coverage, and I want to take advantage of that. What's happened, for instance, we had 31 senators working together to lower costs through cost-sharing programs and reinsurance programs. The president issued an executive order ending cost-sharing, and Mitch McConnell refuses to bring reinsurance to the floor. By continuing to work with my colleagues, we can make sure that we can get those things done.
But I'll be the only senator there that actually has something that's worked and could be the model not only for our individual policies, but for employer-provided insurance and even Medicare and Medicaid. Because back then, just like I do now, I'm not afraid to take on hard issues and craft plans that actually work.
All right, interesting. Well, let's move on to the time that you spent with these guys. Give me a sense of what you did with Donnelly during the time that you spent with him.
So with Donnelly, I followed him around at the Circle City Classic Parade, and then we went to Charlie Brown's and Speedway, and then we had a couple campaign stops in Avon.
Did you hear anything from him that you found surprising, or was he in campaign mode the whole time?
I think he was definitely in campaign mode, I mean, which makes sense when you get to the end of September, October. But the one thing that did strike me wasn't necessarily something he said, but just with him in the parade. You know, I think politicians all have different ways of doing parades, but he was literally zigzagging across Pennsylvania Street, which during a parade is like 5 or 6 lanes wide because they don't let cars park there. And the security detail that he had with him is like trying to jog behind him and keep up with him. And they're like, you know, they kept looking at me like, oh my gosh, like he just doesn't stop. Like, we're just okay. Like one side, the next side, like anytime somebody yelled at him, he was like, okay, I'll be right there.
So he really enjoys, getting up and impressing flesh and,
yeah,
and making pleasantries.
Yeah. I mean, because then we got to the end of the parade and he was just like, oh man, wasn't that a great parade, everybody? That was so much fun. And then he walked back and started greeting everybody else who was behind us in the parade.
Yeah. And tell me about the time you spent with Braun.
Braun, I was at a fish fry in Warsaw, Indiana. It was a Republican Party fish fry that he was there kind of making the rounds. He worked in the buffet line, I guess is what you call it, for a little bit and handing out bread.
And you just sat down with him at the fish fry to talk for a while, or did you move on to something else?
Yeah, we just kind of went into a little area that was a little quieter. It was very loud in the building where the fish fry was, and just talked a little bit about the campaign and the different issues and kind of what got him to this point.
Not that being gregarious makes you a good senator, but I feel like we've heard some criticism from inside the Republican Party that, you know, he could be a lot more outgoing.
Yeah, I think so. There's certainly been some rumblings that he's not out there enough. He's not, you know, at these different things enough. And there's been some pushback about, I think more so on the Democrats side, about the fundraisers he's had in D.C. or out of state versus, you know, out campaigning every day, especially since, you know, he's kind of stepped away from his business in Jasper. His kids are pretty much running it. So, you know, one would think he has all this time to be out there campaigning. And I think some Republicans have seen that Donnelly, who is still serving right now, is coming back and out at multiple things every weekend or every time he can be.
And did you hear anything from him that you thought was particularly surprising or maybe revealing?
I would say the most surprising thing out of that interview was that no one asked him to run for Senate. It's a very big office to run for without anybody in the party or anybody, you know, asking him about it or bringing it up in any way, especially when you think about, you know, he got into the school board because of a phone call that came, even though it was for his wife. He got into the state house because the retiring representative or the representative who was deciding to run for Senate called him and said, hey, I think you'd be a good replacement for me. You know, what do you think about running? And so then he takes this much bigger step, but he did that all on his own.
And strictly on his own.
Yeah.
Back when the primaries were done, and everybody predicted, wow, this is going to be a closely watched race. And it has been. It's going to be a very close race. And it has been. And we're going to see tens of millions of dollars come in from out of the state. Has that come to pass? Do we have indications that there are tens of millions of dollars coming in for supporters for both these guys?
I don't know if we're quite at tens of millions of dollars yet. Well, if you consider what's come in to each of their campaigns and the outside money, then yes, we are definitely at tens of millions.
I know in the most recent fundraising report for the third quarter, we saw that Donnelly raised more than $3 million and had more than $4.5 million in cash on hand. Braun raised $5.6 million, although $2.4 million of that was money of his own that he lent the campaign, and had $1.9 million in cash on hand. First off, what is cash on hand? Why is that an important statistic?
Well, cash on hand means what do you got left in the bank? How much can you go spend? Which matters a lot.
How can Braun raise $5.6 million but only have $1.9 million cash on hand?
Because that means he spent a lot. Or he...
He's already spent it during the quarter.
He could, yes.
Oh, I see. At the end of the quarter, he had that much cash on hand.
Yes. I mean, you think about it like a bank account, and you're taking a snapshot out of it at this point and saying, well, this is how much cash we have available right now.
Right. So Donnelly had a ton of cash on hand at the end of the quarter.
Yeah. So I would say that's one of the important things to note is the $4.5 million compared to $1.9 million is a pretty big difference as you're going into the last few weeks of the race in terms of, you know, you think about how that money is going to be spent on advertisements, and Donnelly seems to have a lot more ready to go. Mm-hmm. But then again, there are outside groups on both sides that can come in and make up the difference wherever they need to.
And another wrinkle in the race that we just reported on today, voter registration and the number of ballots cast in the first few days of early voting were way up in Marion and Hamilton counties. The registration numbers were increases just from May. People registered now as opposed to in the primary. And the early voting numbers were compared to the same period from 4 years ago. What does that tell you about how this race might fall?
I think both parties would make arguments that it favors them. But I think what we don't know is what can make it interesting. Like, you know, what is motivating those voters? What motivated that? All those people who didn't vote early in 2014 to go vote early this year. You know, is it something in particular in the news cycle? Because that's one of the things people I've talked about have mentioned is that the news cycle moves so fast right now that something that comes up this week could be totally off the mind of a voter on actually election day.
Right.
But if they go vote early this week, then it's top of mind. With Hamilton County in particular, and we don't know this either, is how many of those early voters, how many of those newly registered voters were educated women? Because nationally, that's what a lot of people are looking at, saying that these educated women are the ones that are going to play a role in whether or not we see this blue wave that some have predicted is coming.
Those are the swing voters.
Well, those are the voters that people think have turned away from Trump, that they may have voted for him in 2016, but not anymore. That's where we could see some differences, which is important when you think about Indiana, because Trump won the state by almost 20 points. So if Donnelly has a chance at winning, you know, some of those Trump voters are going to have to no longer be Trump voters.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Though he has made quite a bit of hay, I guess, about how often he's willing to reach across the aisle and meet Trump on his turf.
Yes. It's been in several ads now about how much he agrees with Trump, how he supports building the wall, how he doesn't support abolishing ICE, like we've seen some Democrats talk about on the national level. To some extent, that's turned off some Democrats. With Donnelly voting no on Kavanaugh, I think, was a big key to not losing some support from Democrats.
What do the polls tell us?
The polls tell us it's a total toss-up.
Okay.
Because even the last couple have had Donnelly up a couple points. Before that, Braun was up a couple points. But it's been such a slim margin that you can't call it one way or the other.
And before we go, let me ask you about the debate. I got the impression that it was kind of a tepid affair. I mean, there wasn't necessarily a winner.
I think people would say that both made mistakes during the debate, and I think a lot of people have argued that Donnelly was the winner. I'm not really sure. I think Braun kind of stuck to his talking points from the primary. I'm a businessman. I'm going to go to D.C. to be the outsider and support the Republican agenda. Donnelly had a couple zingers, if you will, I felt like. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I think it was more tame than a couple of the ones in the primary. Mm. And we'll see what happens in the next one. We've got one at the end of the month. We'll see what happens with Lucy Brenton, the Libertarian candidate. I think she shakes things up a little bit between the two of them. So we will see.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'll let you get some sleep. My thanks again to Lindsay. Hey, before you go, folks, I want to draw your attention to a couple stories in the latest issue of IBJ. Monument Circle has needed a consistent sense of direction for years, but attempts to spruce it up, organize its programming, and make it more pedestrian-friendly have stalled. Haley Colombo reports on two new projects that could spur further upgrades. Also in this issue, and speaking of downtown transformations that have been years in the works, Haley has details on plans to create two hotels and an addition to the Indiana Convention Center on Pan Am Plaza. You can find these stories in your copy of IBJ that you have delivered to your home or online at IBJ.com. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. I'm Mason King. We'll be back again next week.